And that way we'll have all our bases covered. Okay, good. That's all dealt with now. Oh my goodness, it's so good to see you guys and be here with you all. It always feels a little weird when it's been an extra long time, and I know it's only been like 2 days longer than usual. It's been 9 days instead of seven. But there's this longing in my system to hang out here in this space with you all. So does my body good to be here? My mind and my soul love it just as much as my body too. It's been a beautiful week for myself. I've been on, well, this is going to sound like I've been on a retreat, which I haven't actually attended personally, but I've been supporting and facilitating at a retreat for breath work, somatic work, and a few other gems that we got to incorporate into that. And I'm really, really feeling full on up with all the wonderful work that got to transpire. We were just outside of Calgary by about an hour. And now I'm back in town, and as you can tell by the background. So thank you again for your graciousness in me moving up last week's session. It was the right call, as I found out at the retreat center, the Wi-Fi warnings were definitely needed, as the Wi-Fi was tough to get anything to happen. I tried to do a short little something on a Zoom call just with a particular person for like 10 minutes, and oh yeah, access was tough, so I'm really glad that we got to do it in advance and I didn't get to miss out on meeting with some of you that were able to join me live. On the note of our scheduling, thank you to all of those that have responded to the timing survey. So know that that timing survey I'm going to leave open until this Saturday. So get your votes on in if you have a sense of how you'd like to have the times for us moving forward. And that'll be in effect for August onwards. So you'll receive an email shortly enough in the next week or so with updated timings about everything as we move forward. Okay. So I'm going to wait for all those answers to come on in. No, I didn't resend it and you need to redo it. Well, let me say this differently. I did resend the email hoping for more responses if there were any other responses. But if you've already submitted your response, you don't need to redo it, if that helps clarify that. Okay. Excellent question. Okay. Okay, now as we head in for today's session, I'm going to invite you to settle on in, getting comfy and cozy. And I'll invite you to have your own little experience of an off-grid retreat, even though we're kind of online. We can go there in our minds and our imaginations. And as you take time, perhaps you've had your own experiences of being in an off-grid retreat center. You can imagine that being available to you here and now. And as we breathe into that, I'm going to invite you to take this time to use that inhale to receive. To call in. And to savor all that feels good here. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. Part of that feels pleasant. I invite you to drink it in, to receive it, to savor it. And I also invite you to now, on purpose, locate something that feels good for you, whether that's outside in your external environment, looking up, down, all around to locate that, or whether that's internally in here. Again, looking around to locate that. And wherever your gaze lands, outward or inward, taking time to notice what it is you like the most about this thing. And as you take time to notice that, also taking time to imagine that you can really breathe that inside of you. And to take that in a little bit deeper, letting it go all the way throughout the system, moving globally. And as you drink that all in, breathing that in, taking that in just a little bit deeper now, I'll offer my thanks. Thank you for being here. And thank you so much for calling this medicine in. Thank you to all that's gone into you being present in all the ways that you are now. Thank you to your families. Thank you to your ancestors, your lineages, and to all of those that have come before and all of those yet to come alike. Thank you for this opportunity to live here now. And thank you to all of those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all. Thank you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. As we settle in, working with the transformation of sadness and overexcitement alike amongst the disorientation response. I invite you to begin here in a way that allows for a little bit of fluidity in your spine to arise. I invite you to, on purpose, breathe in a way that lets a little wiggle woggles begin to flow through the spine. And as you make those little movements in the body, you might even begin to notice that your breath can show up in your spine as well. You might even imagine that with every inhale, the pelvis can rock forward. And with every exhale, the pelvis rocks backwards. Inhaling, rocking forward. Exhaling, rocking backward. And seeing if that movement can come just a little bit bigger on the inhale. Most people have the movement in the exhale already perfected, and they usually turn into a bit more of a slump than it needs to be. So, slightly exaggerating that movement on the inhale. And the exhale becomes just a little bit smaller in its movement. And as the pelvis moves and rocks with the breath, that may invite in a little bit of movement in through the lower spine, the lumbar spine. And it might begin to rise slowly through the other areas of the spine above it. Breath by breath, I invite you to get curious and see how the spine can begin to move in relationship to your breath, making any other adjustments in your physical body as you do so. And as you adjust and move in that way, deepening the breath just a little bit more if it's available. And as we do this, I see it as bringing in circulation of blood, nerve, and lymph specifically into the sushumna, the central channel, the spinal column region of the body. And as we work with it, bringing in blood that carries our passion, the nerve, our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, and overanalyzing. And as it all drains, I see it helping you to find the center of you, landing in your center. And as you orient towards finding the center, know that the center isn't actually a stationary place that you have to try to hang on to or grip onto. The center is dynamic, it fluctuates, it moves, it oscillates. And almost if you were to imagine yourself in like a yoga balancing pose where you kind of have those wobbles and wobbles. Wibbles is a technical term, just like wobbles is. And those wibbles and those wobbles begin to allow for their own kind of a dance to ripple through the system. And those wobbles actually are a good thing. It helps us in its own way to give us information. So letting the wobbles be there, it's not about fighting them, it's actually about letting them be there just as they are and finding your own center. If that's feeling a bit wobbly. And amongst that all, we're linking this all now into the vestibular system of the ears, excuse me, that gives rise to our capacity to balance. And we're releasing the need to hang on with rigidity, the need to hang on to where it is we think we are, the need to hang on to where we think we should be, and the need to hang on to how we think that we should get there, because that's its own rigidity, of course, as well. And as we begin to let that rigidity soften and fall away, we're going to support that even further by working with the liver, which is where some of this is coming from, along with the gallbladder, working with both liver and gallbladder complex here. And with it, releasing the belief system of I have to fight my way through this or else. I have to fight my way through this or else. And as that unwinds in its own way, that need to fight, the need to, in particular, push one's way through, is linked as well to the survival response of I just need to hang on to make it through this. We're going to unwind that through the base chakra, bringing in again circulation, but this time of all the healing resources, starting with that blood that carries our passion, nerve, our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our immune system, our nervous system, and really most of our body mind for that matter. And as we work with that, balancing the yin and the yang, the feminine and the masculine. And then bringing in hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. And as we work with that, running a cellular repair. Interesting. And this is on the liver's capacity to hold boundaries, in particular as it relates to your mental thought processes from being overly invasive in a way that's challenging. So, for example, those thoughts where we might be connected to low self-esteem or negative thinking, those negative automatic thoughts, those patterns that we just default into where we criticize or attack ourselves. And as we work with those, restoring the liver's capacity to, in essence, hold the boundary for those being at times more invasive or intrusive than they need to be. So we can actually hear why they're there in the first place, because I imagine that they're here for a really good reason. They're likely here to try to protect you. They're likely here to help stabilize the nervous system. They're likely here to provide something of value. So it's not that we're asking them to go away or dismiss them. They wouldn't be here this prevalently, without good reason. We're just simply asking for them to have some, have a little bit of spaciousness so that we can actually really receive why it is they're here in the first place, so we can actually meet them with the compassion that they deserve. As we bring in the liver boundary energy, linking in the centers of compassion that hang out on our upper chest, that's not from body talk, it's from a breathwork thing, and linking it into the limbic brain, the emotional brain, as well as through to the reptilian brain, in particular around the brainstem region. Okay. And then giving all those other voices that at times might want to be overly invasive as we run that cellular repair, also permissions that it's okay to wait your turn. It's okay to go slow and wait your turn. Yeah. And we're also going to let them know, because it's as if those little voices have their own sense of anxiety. We're going to let them all know you get to take your time here. You get to take your time here. Now we're linking that all into the eighth house. The eighth house is the house of the kidney meridian. And we just came from the liver, and both of those meridians govern heavily the brain and the thinking processes that are involved within it. And here within the kidney is actually also a tie-in to the ancestral lines of where those types of thoughts that often keep us stuck in a depressed mind state or a sad mind state we're propagating from. We're going through in particular mum's side of the family lines, and we're going back a fair ways, quite a fair ways, 18 generations on an emotional frequency, looking at the, in particular, the thought processes involved around the emotion of worry. And the type of worry that led to the sensitivity around feeling easily flooded, easily confused, easily burdened, and thrown off of center. It's like just the look from somebody else might be enough for us to abandon ourselves and abandon our center and get stuck in those negative thought processes. Just a change of tone of voice or the way that somebody holds their posture. And in essence, in your system, this showing up as being overly sensitive at times to all of those informational pieces because of all of the unprocessed burdens from 18 generations of women who have come before you. And underlying this all is the pattern of, I should be controlled. And related to that, the belief system of, I'm a danger to myself. So I should be controlled alongside of, I'm a danger to myself. That's all linking into House 10, House of Career, Achievement, Recognition, House of Outward Self-Expression. And it's also the house where the planet Saturn hangs out. as Saturn helps to bring in realistic expectations. Sometimes Saturn, much like Mars, gets a bit of a bad rap. It is often thought to be that, as I've referred to it a lot, that harsh taskmaster as it gets us in touch with our responsibilities. But at times we can feel overly responsible, which makes us overly sensitive to all those pieces of information and how we think that means something about us. So as we work with this, just beginning to bring in the aspect of realistic expectations. Realistic expectations. And as we bring in realistic expectations, helping that to soften, to in essence lower the, I'm going to say, unattainably high standards we sometimes self-impose on ourselves and how we should respond to things. And as we take that weight off to become realistic again, linking it into the element of earth to support us in landing in a good, healthy, grounded way amongst it all. And as we link it into earth, also anchoring it into the stomach and the spleen meridians that give us access to our mind, conscious and subconscious alike, to be able to receive nourishing experiences that provide a sense of stillness. And as we take in the earth element in this way, we might even imagine our favorite piece of earth, whether that's a favorite tree, river, rock, or a patch of land, to help us stay anchored within our own center in a different way. And if we ever need inspiration for staying centered, the earth is hurtling throughout the spaciousness of this galaxy at a tremendous pace. A tremendous speed, and yet somehow still holds the essence, this vibration of slowness at its very core, at its very center, that helps us to anchor and be received in a way that also reminds us of that. Yeah, what if we have exactly the same capacity? What if? And we're going to tap this part out here. So I invite you to breathe and receive. And giving that just one or two more breaths, letting that part integrate nice and slowly here. And then we're doing an emotional release of sadness from the digestive system all the way through. And it's particularly impacting the liver's capacity to detox, along with the spleen's capacity to regulate blood sugar. Pardon me, the pancreas's capacity to regulate blood sugar. And as we work with the liver and the pancreas, and the digestive system as a whole, it's almost got this attitude of like, why bother to take more in? That just means I'm going to have to do more work. If I take more in, I just have to do more work. And it becomes this almost apathy driving sensibility that's creating a bit of a shutdown or a collapse here. And linked to that is the belief or this idea that we have to just wait. We just have to wait. And alongside of that, we just have to wait things out. We just have to wait things out. Wait for that to pass. And in essence, it becomes this cycle of being one might say, way too centered in a playful sort of twist of that concept, as everything else now revolves and changes as you just simply wait in the center. But that means that we're now looking on to life and not participating in life, so it doesn't actually form a real true sense of being centered within ourselves. But it's a really great false centering, and it's a really great way to cope with some things. And it was done also for a really good reason. I was thinking into the age of 4, 4 and a half. And there's this anticipation of change. There's this anticipation of change and this hopefulness that things will somehow just automatically change for the better without having to overly do anything internally. And it's almost like this codependent sense of waiting for something else to change by means of somebody else rescuing or figuring out what's wrong and automatically tending to that. And within this, releasing now the belief slash expectation slash concept of I must wait to be saved. And this is tying into all the different childhood stories you may have received around as long as you're a good kid, you'll get presents for Christmas or Hanukkah or the other, I forgive me, I'm not as well versed in some of the other traditions and faiths. So I don't want to overstep by offering other examples. But all those times where you were told, just be good enough, just be patient, just wait, and then you'll get what you want. It's almost as if it set us up to, in later on years of life, just think, okay, well, as long as I'm just patient and I wait things out, I'll get what's coming to me, right? Right? And yet, without action being taken, it's pretty challenging for that to actually transpire. So we're just meeting that energy of, I should just wait this out, with a few different things. We're actually linking into now your kidney meridian points on the masculine side. We're going to go into dad's family lines, and we're not going quite as far back. We're only going to go back 8 generations. And we're looking at a belief system. And the belief system here is my actions don't have an impact. My actions don't have an impact. And related to that, the identity of I am meaningless. As you release that pattern through the family lines, running lymphatic drainage all the way through, in particular, the masculine side of the body, the right side of the body, and the left side of the brain. And then linked to that, releasing from both sides of the family lines, the pattern of I should hide my ineptitude, or I should hide why I think I'm not measuring up. Better to hide that away and not work on it than see it for what it is so I can actually move through it and create changes that I'm looking to create in my life. And the, shall I say, harmfulness of hiding means it compounds things. So it takes all of those voices that says you didn't do a good job, and it makes them even stronger. It takes any little voice that's related to the inner critic, low self-esteem, overanalyzing, and it just blows it way up. In essence, it activates our cingulate gyrus, which is known as the drama queen of our brain for, well, good reason. That's what it does. It amplifies things, which can be helpful for us to see it clearly. And other times, it can also create some challenges as it creates any of those old patterns in ways that aren't necessarily serving us, and takes them and amplifies them, makes them even bigger than what they are. So for this pattern of hiding and the singular gyrus that's tied into it, we're going to run an ongoing seed dream now for it. It's going to continue for the next 8 days, which takes us just into our next time that we see each other live again. Starting with C, circulation of all those same healing resources that I mentioned earlier. We're going to also bring in the planetary energy of Venus and Mercury. Venus for its role in harmony, Mercury for its role in communication. Then we're going to run D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration and introspection shift the underlying consciousness. We can think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And alongside of this, at the same time, we're unhooking the belief system from the sternum all the way through the rib cage in the front, as well as an inch out to all the ribs. So the sternum and all the ribs that hook into it for the first inch or so of those ribs. And here we're working with the belief system of I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. And then all of the control mechanisms that are designed to protect you from that, from feeling the full weight of I shouldn't be here, and any of the behaviors, patterns, emotions, thoughts that's connected to. And looking at the protective control piece, it's coming with the sensitivity to other people's criticisms, other people's postures, other people's voices, other people's thoughts. And it's doing, excuse me, it's doing, I'm just gonna grab a sip of water. Try again. There we go. And it's doing its best to simply avoid the feeling flooded by the strong emotions of I shouldn't be here. In very good proactive ways by helping you to anticipate what's coming. And it's also carrying the burden of having to be hypervigilant all the time in order to make that happen. So that hypervigilance, creating its own form of tension, is calling in a little bit of TLC. So we're here, we're going to start off with releasing an active memory. And it's the fear of not catching what's coming. The fear of not catching what's coming, or the fear of not being able to anticipate or intuit well enough. And as we work with that, linking into the gallbladder meridian, which runs along the side body and helps to create a sense of stability. And it's also like it's always on the lookout for something new. And although the new and the creative are very much a passion and very helpful and healthful, there can also be a little bit of a whirlpool that we catch ourselves in if all we're ever doing is looking for something new, something new, something new, something new. So we're releasing the pressure to find something new. And ironically, as we release that pressure, the new may magically be there. As we release the pressure to have to find something new or always be locating something different, something new from the gallbladder meridian, it begins to stabilize and connects all the way from the amygdala complex in the center of our emotional brain helping us to react and respond versus, pardon me, helping us to respond versus react. And it begins to anchor us down all the way through to the ankles and the feet where the gallbladder meridian also run. And as the gallbladder meridian lands us here, helping to catalyze change without having to anticipate how it should show up in new ways. So not having to figure out the new in advance, but just simply welcoming any catalyzation of changes that happen. Without having to have it all figured out in advance. And with this, releasing the stress of decisions, the stress of making a decision or a choice, the stress of having to make a decision or a choice. And from that, or within that, I should say, within that, releasing the emotion of fear, as well as the emotion of that overexcitement where we anticipate something new is coming, again, like right before Christmas, or the equivalent of like a birthday, or something along those lines. And if you just wait, if you just hold still, if you're just a good enough waiter, you'll get what you are after. It is tied into here as well. As we do this, running, not necessarily running, I should say this a little differently, but resourcing the gallbladder meridian with the planetary energy of the sun. And as we bring the sun in, helping it to warm the sun, helping it to create the fullest expression of the gallbladder meridian's life force potential available. In essence, optimizing the flow of chi through here, along with the stability that the gallbladder carries. As we work with this, also bringing in the sense of being held, the sense of being supported by something bigger than us, whether that's a group, whether that's a really reliable friend, whether that's source, God, the universe, that which is eternal. And with this, bringing in also the planetary energy of Uranus. And Uranus brings in originality. It brings in the capacity to support change in a way that's creative, that's honest, that's also honest to our vision. And then we're running a permissions here for the gallbladder meridian. And the words are just simply, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. And we're linking that in particular into the left knee. And in Chinese medicine, it's thought when both of our knees are impacted by something that it's related to the kidney meridian. When just one knee is impacted, it's related more to the gallbladder meridian. And this work with the gallbladder is tied in specifically to the left knee, the feminine knee. And as we reassure the feminine, the yin, that she knows where she's going. She doesn't have to wait to be controlled or told what to do and how to get there. And then at the same time as all of that, I'm not quite sure how it's tied in yet, but we need to release the consciousness of spiritual bypassing from the left side of the throat. Which is tied into a bit of a freeze response as well. Okay, so the spiritual bypassing, the part that says, I should know better, or in essence, I'll just hang out with the goodness of feeling all the lovely things that I get to feel when I'm in my place of spirituality. Versus actually slowing down to take a look at what's here is creating its own sort of like frozenness. And as we begin to release that pattern through the left side of the neck, underlying that is the essence of disorientation, and I don't know where I'm going or what it is I'm doing. So I want to have something to guide me. I need something to hang on to in order to make that happen. And what if we didn't have to do it by means of hanging on to something, but rather by means of freely letting those wobbles come on in that time, that space where we don't know where we're going, what it is we're doing, letting the wobbles be there as we still stay centered and explore one little bit at a time, slowly finding our way through. And that's linking into when you're born. And not always being able to navigate through the that process as fluidly as we might like to. We're looking at a time, in fact, in which you felt rather stuck in the birth canal and felt like you couldn't move forward. It was about halfway through your labor process, however long it might have been. It's about the halfway point. And there was a sense of like, is this going anywhere? Can I actually get ahead here? What's the point of me doing this? Why am I doing it in this way? And all the second guessing, all the doubts, all the need to stop to try to figure out, is this actually showing up in the way that I want it to? Is this actually unfolding, happening in the way that I want it to? And within that, releasing a feeling of being disappointed within yourself for not being able to get ahead further, faster, as was being influenced from the external environment of other people being impatient, in particular, mom. And within that, the belief system here is impatience is nourishment. Impatience as nourishment, which is almost like a fractal version of abuse as love. Impatience is nourishing. And as long as other people are really impatient with me, I'll somehow be able to get what I need and do what I need to do from there. And that in turn impacted when you were a babe in the womb, as well as right now, the liver. And all of that impatience hanging out there created the sense of we just need to come up with a plan for efficiency and make things happen quickly in a way where these types of problems don't ever have to arise again. And all that pressure on the liver, this need to plan to try to prevent things from unfolding naturally, became its own form of defense or way of staying safe. And with this, we're releasing an allergy to the natural, an allergy to things naturally unfolding in a way where their own rhythm gets to be honored. Your own rhythm gets to be honored. And releasing the need to be hyper-vigilant or on guard for other people's rhythms, other people's sense of it should be done like this, other people's impatience. And as you find your own sense of your own being and your own rhythm amongst all the other cacophony of noises, of information, of sounds coming in from the world, from other people telling you how it should be done and exactly the process, this time it should take, etc. Finding your own sense of center again here for the liver. And for this little babe that's about to be born into this world. And we can even imagine now as this baby receives this energy of what it is to be restored in this way, in their own center. What might it be to actually let yourself imagine being born? And we can speed this up a little bit. So you don't have to play it all out in advance. It doesn't need to take the remaining, 6 hours or 12 hours or however long your labor was, but it's imagination. So you actually get to play with your own sense of imagination and rhythm and timing here. Around what it is to be born. Into your own center. Into your own center. What is it to be born? Into the center of you. To allow, how I'm seeing this play out is literally going through the birth canal. And as you come out the other side, landing in your own essence. And allowing this essence to be at your very core. And not at the being held at the whim of everybody else's expectations of how this should happen, what should go next. And as you hold your own self here in this way, finding your own sense of center, linking it into house number 6 in astrology, which works with the house of practical action. The house of being in service to ourselves, the house of being in service to the health of our body minds in ways that are really practical, loving. I wonder in this moment if there's any homework one you might want to assign yourself to lovingly anchor into the very center, the very essence of you, just a little bit deeper. Any homework you might want to lovingly assign yourself. To help land in the very center, honoring this essence of you, to be at the core of you. And two, any homework that you might lovingly assign yourself around any codependency patterns or habits that you might be playing out. Codependent upon spirits, creator, God, universe, to wait and just be patient enough to be shown the way. Versus taking action to see what happens and refining it from there. And as we do that, releasing the underlying sadness that's contained from the spiritual bypassing pattern of just wait and all things will be granted. And releasing that from the tailbone as well as the soles of the feet. As well as the sphenoid bone. And it's linking into a permission statement. Your agency gets to be honored here. Your agency gets to be honored here. Your agency gets to be honored here. And then we're linking that into the sexual chakra. And here, running the permissions of your expression of you is welcome. Your expression of you is welcome. Your expression of you is welcome. Then I just see from the front of the spine one more permissions now. And the words here are, you are free to move forward. You are free to move forward. And the image I have, this is very birth as well, is that this like portal, this almost vaginal opening begins to widen in a way that allows you just to easily step through birthing yourself into existence. As you're free to move forward, to make the choices, to honor your own sensibility, free to move forward from your own center. I wonder what that's like. Feel free to check it out. What is it like? And then we're linking this all to house number one, house of new beginnings, house of new possibilities, new opportunities. Lung one acupuncture point hangs out roughly in the outer corner of our chest, right around the shoulder region there. And as we work with lung one, releasing the belief, the concept, the identity of helplessness, and running the permission statement here of I am not helpless. I am not helpless. I don't have to sit around and wait things out. I'm not helpless. I can move through that. As it does so, running a body chemistry. Interestingly enough, on allergies and intolerances alike, around the theme of rejection that those both embody. But it's orienting specifically to chemicals that have, in particular, fragrances, as well as chemicals that are actually quite harmful to us that have no odor whatsoever. So it's working with both extremes, like the really strong scented ones and the ones that have zero scent whatsoever. Okay, and with that, the scent part being quite active, linking this into the sense of smell. And finding the, in essence, the middle ground, the middle road between things being too overpowering and also not being detectable at all. And finding that space between the two of them. And this is a bit of a mirror. What if you are not someone who's overpowering? What if you're not too much? And what if you can also let yourself be seen and not have to be hidden away? Finding that middle road between the two. As you find that middle ground between the two of you through the sense of smell, releasing again any particular allergies or intolerances to chemicals with strong fragrance or chemicals that seem to be undetectable. And as we do that, running a cellular repair on the chemoreceptors that hang out in the brainstem that modify your breath. So the chemoreceptors that hang out here modify how much oxygen versus carbon dioxide one takes in. And here running the permission, lots of permissions all of a sudden. The words here are, I'm adaptable. I'm adaptable. And that earlier rigidity that we were working with a while ago, nearish the beginning, I see that begin to melt and become more flexible. And as that rigidity continues to melt away, becoming even more flexible now, I see that linking as well into the digestive system and allowing any sluggishness that was present here, any rigidity in its own way, to also soften and melt and become even more flexible. And I see this light, this pure golden-ish, whitish light shining all the way through this entire digestive system tract and lighting you up from the inside out. And as that continues to shine from the inside out, there's this little blackish spot hanging out of the base of the heart. And within it, the belief system, the familiarity really with misery, with suffering, and the belief, this idea that you're doomed to play that out, to continue to live here, and have that be all that takes over all the senses. I'm just going to invite the senses to also notice the purity of the light coming in through the digestive system, as well as the capacity to shift its attention to taking something other than this. This familiar place of feeling doomed to repeat misery and suffering is what I mean by this. And as it can take in also the light as well as the darkness, it begins to have its own form of flexibility arise again from the inside out and supporting the system and moving slowly between these two, light and dark. And you may find in your own body, in your own awareness, that there might be other areas of light and dark, And if you're open to it, I'll invite you to just slowly let your attention move back and forth between the two, giving yourself at least one or two breaths in each before you move on to the other. And as you hang out with that all, building in essence resiliency, tolerance within the nervous system, you may see some changes. So I'm going to invite you to get curious about what's different as you touch in on each. What's different as you touch in on each? Then we're going to tap this all out here. So invitation to breathe and receive. Feel free to stay with the light, the dark, going back and forth, keeping that as your main focus. And if that gets to a place where things seem to be lighter and easier, then you can drop that practice. If it still seems to be helpful in serving you, then staying with it. And if it doesn't seem to be serving you or doing something that's just not quite right for you right now, inviting in that resource that you found at the very beginning. The thing that felt good to be around. Giving that all another breath, maybe two, letting this all really land and integrate. And I've got many, many, many songs to choose from for you. And my cursor is lingering on this one. It's called Body of the Goddess. It's by Ali Maya. It's from the album Miracles of Healing. It's about 3 minutes long. So I invite you to drink in its rhythm, its vibration. Amongst all that you're drinking in, and feel free to stay with the light, the dark, back and forthness if that's working well for you, continuing with that project for a little longer.
My body is a living temple of love. My body is a living temple of love. My body is the body of the goddess. My body is the body of the goddess. Oh, I am that I am. Oh, I am that I am. My body is a living temple of love. My body is a living temple of love. My body is the body of the goddess. My body is the body of the goddess. Oh, I am that I am. Oh, I am that I am. My body is a living temple of love. My body is a living temple of love. My body is the body of the goddess. My body is the body of the goddess. Body is a living temple. the body of the goddess.
Thank you for calling this in. And thank you for all that you always bring to these tables, today included. Mwah, mwah, mwah. All the love and all the blessings as you continue to integrate this all. And you're most welcome. Pleasure being here with you all. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day. Bye for now, loves.